Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
An edge to beat the spread and so much more.
An average Harper season, and you get the NOLA that you've gotten recently, and Wheeler's like even good. I think they're like a mid-80s win team.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
Ah, indeed it is. You Better You Bet. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley here with you on the BetQL Audio Network nationwide on Odyssey.com and the Odyssey app. 1430 AM, The Bet in Denver. KCBS HD3 in Los Angeles. 105.9 FM HD2 in Chicago. And, of course, on YouTube, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports as we get set to bring you the wagertainment for the next 4 hours, talking all things sports betting, proudly presented by the Bet River Sportsbook. Give that $250 deposit it. You know what you get? That $250 match on our show sponsor, BetRivers.com. Also want you to download the BetQL app for all the tools you need to beat the sportsbooks. You know what they've got to beat the sportsbooks? Dem algorithms. You can use dem algorithms to win. Dem bets. BetQL.com. And download the BetQL app. It is Championship Monday, April 5th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Our show Twitter account is at You Better You Bet. The Instagram account is at YBYB Sports. My Twitter and Instagram account at The Costos, THEKOSTOS. And Ken Barkley is on Twitter at Locky Lockerson. And how delicious is it that 4 months to the day, literally to the day, that we were supposed to see Gonzaga take on Baylor in the regular season? Of course, that doesn't happen because of COVID. Now we get it 4 months later, April 5th, Monday, Championship Monday. In college basketball, we've got an unbelievable show coming your way. In fact, we got two different shows coming your way. That's how good the show is going to be. We had to break it up into two. And if the show were going to suck, if both of them were going to suck, we would lie and tell you that they're going to be great. But how could the show be bad with everything that's going on today? The regular You Better You Bet will air for the next 3 hours here. And then the final hour of the show becomes BetQL's countdown to tip off with yours truly and Ken Barkley. Coach Jimmy Patsos will join us. Our buddy Eli Herskovich will join us as well as we give you a full hour on Gonzaga and Baylor leading up to tip off. On You Better You Bet, Rob Doster going to join us. He's going to break down Gonzaga and Baylor. Colin Wilson from the Action Network is going to join us. He'll break down Gonzaga and Baylor and also talk some Major League Baseball with us. So again, a full hour coming up on Gonzaga and Baylor in the NCAA championship game. Power hour, hour number three. All our bets for Major League Baseball and for the association. We're going to talk NBA MVP. We're going to talk Major League Baseball series takeaways from the weekend that you can take forward. That's why we call them takeaways. We take something away to spin it forward that you can use to win money. Betting this week on Major League Baseball, we'll discuss some of the greatest games of all time after an epic UCLA-Gonzaga national semifinal on Saturday night. And we got to break down breaking news, a trade in the National Football League. Sam Darnold headed to Carolina. Will now be a Carolina Panther, traded from the Jets to the Panthers, clearing the way, of course, for Gangrene to use that number two overall pick on a quarterback. Round one of the NFL draft coming up on April 29th. So a loaded sports day today, Ken. A loaded show, two loaded shows for you and me. How we doing on a Monday?
Doing great. Had a great weekend for people who celebrated Easter. Hopefully you had a great holiday weekend as well. Even if you didn't, hope you had a great weekend. And hopefully people who just, I know you give a big intro every time. You give a big, like, here's all the stuff we have going on in the show. Here's all the stuff we got going on tonight. If people didn't kind of take note of all the stuff that Nick said, and he didn't even give you everything, there's a lot going on right now in sports. And I don't even mean that in a sigh kind of a way. It's insane the amount of things that happened
this weekend. Oh, by the way, the Masters is coming up. The Masters is coming up also.
So you have Right. So I mean, we'll start there. You had Jordan Spieth literally, you know, win a golf tournament going into a tournament, which he plays better than any tournament he's ever played. And oh, by the way, it's the most important tournament of the year. By the way, you have that coming up this week. You obviously had the Final Four on Saturday, featured a game of, depending on, you know, how much of a hot take artist you are, I guess, either the greatest game in the history of sports, collegiate or professional, or the best college basketball game, or just an awesome game. We had that Saturday night, and we have the title game tonight. Major League Baseball, I think, is off to an awesome start. I know the COVID stuff with Washington and stuff is not what you want, but just I've enjoyed it more, and I think it's the sport that's returned to normal the fastest. Fans are back in the stands. The weather is nice. It's like the first sport that feels normal again, I would say, aside from maybe golf. Professional football, you have a trade going on right now. NBA, the MVP came back a couple days ago. Maybe the MVP is the guy who had 16 assists last night. There's a lot, man, and it's awesome. It's really we always say this in the COVID year. We didn't know if we were going to get here. We didn't know what this was going to be like. I'm really happy this is all going on at the same time, and it's awesome.
It is pretty awesome here. So why don't we do this? Because the show is absolutely loaded with stuff today, as Ken just told you. Like, there's so much going on that, like, I don't know how much master, like, we'll have a ton of master stuff throughout the week. I don't know how much we're going to be able to do today. So why don't we knock this out right now and just give me your initial take here on the big trade in the National Football League, right? Sam Darnold gets traded to the Carolina Panthers. Panthers hold the 8th overall pick in the draft. The Jets get back a 6th-round pick this year, and then 2nd and 4th-round picks next year. So I think just in terms of a actual football conversation,
right?
I don't hate the trade really for either team. I think for the Panthers, they're clearly desperate to take a swing for a quarterback here after failing to acquire Matthew Stafford. Obviously, they were going to be in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. We don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to even play next year, for how long he's going to play here. So it seems to be like a worthy gamble, at least on Sam Darnold, the guy who's got a ton of promise, obviously 3rd overall pick of the draft a couple of years ago, to the Jets. And for the Jets, like, I don't think they were ever going to get a 2nd-round pick this year, but the fact that they get a 2 and a 4 next year, I kind of look at this as maybe like a win-win potentially for both sides here. So I know that doesn't really help us from a gambling perspective, right. but I think that is kind of interesting to kind of break down. Right. So now it looks like the Panthers have their presumptive starter next year in Sam Darnold. And this should pave the way for the Jets to take probably Zach Wilson of BYU or maybe someone else with that 2nd overall pick. So now the draft comes into better focus, and now we know Carolina's likely starting quarterback as well for next season.
I can't really speak to the draft currency part of this in terms of, like, was it the right thing? Should it have been a 3rd? Should it have been whatever? Like, I don't find that stuff as interesting as others do, and there are some people who are really good at analyzing and breaking down whatever. What I can tell you is, from either a win total standpoint or just thinking about Carolina in a macro way or a single game way when we get into next season and when we have more information about the draft and everything, Sam Darnold is interesting because he's like not a guy you draft for average. You pick him for ceiling, right? So a point of comparison, Washington goes out and signs Ryan Fitzpatrick. It is more likely than not that Ryan Fitzpatrick will have a better season this year than Sam Darnold will, but it is basically impossible that Ryan Fitzpatrick can have the ceiling that Sam Darnold can have, because Sam Darnold is basically a mystery still. And if you're a mystery and you're a quarterback in the NFL, especially one that was taken in the top 5 picks, then you are attractive in some way, because there will always be a belief that somewhere within you is like elite championship level football. And I still think, and I still kind of feel this way too, maybe not to the degree with some other top 5 picks that have busted and everything, I think some of that is still there with Sam Darnold, not as much as some other guys who have kind of faded in the past. But I think if you're a Carolina fan, okay, maybe this year your team maybe didn't get a lot better than if you signed another quarterback, if you signed a guy like Fitzpatrick or whatever. But the idea that Carolina, we've talked about this before, is a team that's building to something in the next 2 to 3 years. If you hit a home run on a guy like this, I guess the point is there is maybe a home run available with a player like this, whereas with some quarterbacks, I don't think that type of success is available.
Well, I think what it tells you as well here, so Carolina has the 8th overall pick in the draft, right? So we have Jacksonville at 1. Jacksonville's going to take a quarterback, right? Trevor Lawrence will be their pick. Urban Meyer, like, didn't come out and say it, but basically intimated that Lawrence is the guy that they're targeting. That's obvious, right? The Jets are going to take a quarterback at 2. The Niners are going to take a quarterback at 3. So the first 3 picks in this draft are going to be quarterbacks. Then we have Atlanta at 4. Maybe they take a quarterback to replace Matt Ryan, groom as his eventual successor. Maybe they don't. Bengals obviously have Joe Burrow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Dolphins have Tua Tagovailoa. The Lions have Jared Goff. And then we have the Panthers at 8. So let's go ahead and presume here that 3 quarterbacks go off the board, leaving another 2 as we expect 5 quarterbacks to go in the first round. Is Carolina basically telling us that they, and I think the answer is yes, right, that their evaluation of Sam Darnold is better than it is for some of the guys that they think are going to be there for them at 8? And maybe that's kind of a piece of information that we can use when we kind of handicap the rest of the first round, that like a lot of this is silly season, right? Like Mac Jones maybe going 3rd. Who? Mac Jones. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's pretty likely it'll be Lawrence, Wilson, and Fields. That would be my guess at this point in time, leaving Mac Jones and Trey Lance, the 2 other quarterbacks that could potentially go in round number 1. Like, we have an NFL team basically telling you right now, we like Sam Darnold better than these guys, because if they didn't, they would wait, right? They would wait until 8, potentially, to get their guy, or if they felt that strongly, trade up a couple picks for the opportunity to draft one of those guys. So I think that's something that's pretty interesting. And for Sam Darnold, like, imagine, like, you're in the desert, right? And you're so thirsty, and all you need is a drink, and Adam Gase is the guy with you. And you're just, it's just sand and sun as far as the eye can see.
Points at the sun and goes, I think the water's over there.
Well, not only that, and it's not like a regular sun, like you're on Tatooine from Star Wars and there's 2 suns. That's how hot it is in the desert with Adam Gase. And like, maybe Matt Rhule and Joe Brady aren't going to be, you know, like Bill Walsh and Sean McVay, like 2 great offensive minds. But like, I don't know, like, I think you kind of agree with me on this, that Rhule kind of showed us enough collectively in year 1. And we obviously like Brady based on what he was able to do at LSU, where this is a great opportunity for Sam Darnold in like a functional offense with head coaches with the brain, where this could be like, maybe not like a 11-6, 12-5. And yes, I'm already like getting in on the 17.
Good work by you.
Records, what they're going to be here. Where I don't know. I kind of feel like Carolina's ceiling pretty high. Use the 8th overall pick, maybe another piece on defense. Good young defense there, man. So I think this is interesting on multiple perspectives.
And I know there's very little precedent for this. So you think there's no way they're taking a quarterback at 8?
I mean, I there's always a chance, right? I would be pretty, like, why make this trade? Like, what's the point?
I agree. I think they're showing you their hand a little bit. I would never close the door on something like that necessarily, but I agree with you that this, at least in some part, kind of tells you what the plan is, because now the plan is set, because you don't give Darnold back. You got him. So there's no misleading.
Like, assets for him. Like, you traded a second rounder next year.
A good amount of capital. Right. That's an asset. 3 picks. Yep. Second round pick next year. Like, good amount of capital to get him. So even if it was the right amount or the wrong amount, you gave stuff of value up to get him. I totally agree with that. But yeah, it's a ceiling versus average conversation with Carolina. But to rehash a little bit of the talk that you and I had, I think it was last week, just there are indicators sometimes with teams, like everything kind of needs to go right. Like it needs to be the right coach. Maybe you need like a hot coordinator in combination with that. You also need like drafts upon drafts, maybe 1 or 2 of like really productive players. And then that all kind of like creates it's almost like fertile ground, right, to grow something. And it, like, all you need all of that, but then none of it ever happens if you don't have a quarterback, right? And there are lots of examples in history of teams that kind of had a fertile ground and then never got the guy. I think the Bears would actually be a really good example of that, to be like, you know, now we're 14-2 in a typical NFL season. Now we're the 1 seed. We're the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Everything just kind of clicked for us. Just never got that guy. And I doubt it's going to be Andy Dalton this year, and the window's probably closed anyway, to be perfectly honest. So the idea of Carolina is like one of the next teams that can create the fertile ground to have a guy like they're already doing that. They already have a lot of very talented players on offense and defense. They've had really good drafts. They have a head coach that everybody
line
seems
is
to
good.
Think. Yep.
Offensive line is good. McCaffrey's going to come back. Weapons at the skill positions here. The defense has got some young talented pieces. You and I have talked about at the eighth pick here. Maybe they take another offensive weapon. I don't know, but like they could add to that defense as well. Like a lot of options here for Carolina.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, and you can probably speak more to the individual player talents. Just it's there, it's being developed, and it's being developed by a head coach who, look, like, we don't all have to agree that Rule's amazing. I mean, he's only been a head coach in the NFL for 1 year, but I like guys who every single place they've gone have been wildly successful versus what that program has been previously, or recovering a program that it was doing particularly poorly, like Baylor and Brady. I mean, this is kind of exactly what you run. Like, this is a guy where 2 years from now they go to the championship game or the Super Bowl, and then he takes a job somewhere because he got them to the level, that level of success. It's like a Kyle Shanahan situation, right? I mean, it's like the exact same thing to a certain extent. You can see the pieces moving here, where if Carolina hits on a quarterback, it all lines up. It's just, I don't know if it's Sam Darnold, but I like that they're taking a swing at a guy where it could be that guy that gets you to that point, as opposed to like settling for maybe a league like a Dalton or a Fitzpatrick or somebody where, like, you know, like you're not hitting a grand slam with that. You're just not. Now, you're also maybe not striking out as much. But with Darnold, I like the idea of like going kind of swinging for the fences with that type of player.
And by the way, like you said, I don't think it'll be the eighth overall pick of this year's draft. But this trade does not necessarily preclude Carolina from like adding another quarterback next year if they're like Darnold's not the guy here. So let's do this here. 90 seconds left in this opening segment here. So Tyler just gave us the NFC South odds over at Bet Rivers. Tampa, of course, the favorite, -150. Saints, +250. Carolina, +700. The Falcons at 12-1. So just very quickly here, more wins next year. Carolina with Sam Darnold. New Orleans with Jameis Winston.
Ooh, man. On average, probably New Orleans is a huge favorite, honestly, in my opinion and in the market. Like, on average. Because I think that's the Darnold thing. It's not average. It's like 1 out of 10, you strike gold here, and it's incredible. But that means the other 9, it's not. That means the other 9, he actually doesn't have anything, and he sees ghosts and all this stuff. So, like, you're trying to hit a home run here. That means you miss a lot.
Maybe you want to tell me that the Saints should be favorites over Carolina, and, like, I can buy that. I think that
culture, I think they have to be. Yeah.
I think the gap is too wide. I think the gap is wide here. I also have an issue with Atlanta being like all the way down like that.
I agree.
That division's very fascinating. My initial read here, I love the trade for both teams. You got to love it for the Jets because now you take the quarterback at 2, no more controversy here. And I really like this for the Carolina Panthers as well. An NFL trade to start off the week here on You Better, You Bet. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, UCLA Gonzaga Saturday night. Game was pretty good. Was it the best ever? We're going to discuss it. Next.